Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. It is a Friday. It's time for one of my favorite segments. It's time to talk about the great outdoors with our friend Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Outreach Biologist. And Doug, unfortunately, it's been a couple of weeks, but it's good to talk to you again.
It's really kind of interesting because I enjoy listening to you and I kind of follow you vicariously. The Florida thing got a little bit much. I apologize, but I had to kind of close my eyes and my ears for just a little bit and go, no, he's not in Florida. I'm gonna pretend he's in Foreman or Felton or something like that. That'll make me feel a little bit better, Eric.
Yeah, it was a nice trip down there. I don't normally get to go to those things. I know it will be more in the future. But anyway, hey, let's talk about what's going on in the great outdoors in North Dakota. One of the things that we actually talked about a few weeks ago and thought we'd get an update right out of the get-go is a legislative update. North Dakota legislature obviously still well in session right now, and there's a couple of bills that we've been talking about, one of those being baiting bills. Any kind of update there?
It was actually heard on Thursday. So to give people a little bit of a 30,000 feet update, a big picture update, there was a bill that went into the legislature to basically say, Game and Fish, you can no longer regulate people hunting big game over bait. I always want to say hunting because a lot of times people are saying, well, you can't bait, you can't feed. It's hunting big game over bait is what this is all about. Now, it passed the House a little while back by a large majority, 76-18. So once it passes the House, it goes in the Senate. Thursday morning, it was heard in the Senate Natural Resources Committee, And I watched the testimony, and they did not vote from what I saw within that committee. So it's obviously still alive. It has not been acted on in the Senate. And for me, as a biologist, as a native of North Dakota, and a guy that's got a lot of ties to the land, there was a lot of testimony from people that were looking at this as a private property rights issue. And I can totally understand as a property owner, if you want to put out corn for deer and hunt deer, is where Game and Fish starts to enter the conversation, is to not necessarily what you can do on your property, but how you can hunt, because we regulate the hunting side of things. And if everybody could do what they wanted to on their private property, then you start going down that slippery slope of, well, do I really need a deer tag to shoot deer on my property? I know that's crossing a little bit of a divide. So there's some philosophical discussions that take place when it comes to this baiting bill, which is kind of what it's referred to. And from a Game and Fish standpoint, we provided testimony. Our veterinarian, Dr. Charlie Bonson, was testifying as to a lot of the reason that this is in discussion is because of chronic wasting disease. And chronic wasting disease is a fatal disease caused by a protein prion. And that's where, when we start going into baiting discussions, we talk chronic wasting disease, we talk about what causes, that's where even I, as a biologist, where we start going out into the deep weeds. Mm-hmm. It gets a lot harder to digest. And the baiting issue is something that most hunters can understand, and most people that even are hunters, the farmers and the ranchers. But when it comes to the reason for limiting baiting is trying to reduce the potential for nose-to-nose contact of deer. And you think about it in terms of having a food plot of 2 acres of corn versus dumping 20 gallons of corn on the landscape and all of the deer gathering around in that one spot. So the thing I guess I would say, Eric, is, if you're listening, whether you're a farmer, a rancher, a hunter, a landowner, Game and Fish is responding to legislation. So if you feel strongly one way or another about this, that's when you need to find out who your state legislators are. And you might already know them. A lot of people do from other issues. And if you don't, then find out who your legislators are and express to them,
right,
your thoughts, your feelings, and how you would like them to look at this. Because we haven't heard we haven't heard every single discussion. And that's part of the beauty of the legislative process. I'm listening yesterday morning. I'm like, oh, hadn't thought of things in that context. So it's something where that's why the legislative process works, is so people can say their piece, legislators can hear it, and then make their decisions based on that area.
Right, right. Was there something on fishing tournament fees too?
There was. There is also another bill, and I'm scrolling down the line to find the exact number on that. But there's basically a bill that would look at fishing tournaments, that does look at fishing tournaments, and determine on how the fishing tournament fees and conservation fees are utilized. And I'll try to put this in a little bit of a context as well. If you have a fishing tournament, you pay a fee to have that fishing tournament. And part of that is so that if you take like a place like Devil's Lake, where you have maybe a dozen different boat ramps, it's a big body of water, but you can't have boat ramps every spot that you wish you would. When you have tournaments, whether it's Devil's Lake or Lake Sakakawea, or even your own backyard fishing pond, is you're going to create congestion. Now, if you've got, what's it called in Barnesville? Blue Eagle Lake? Am I getting the name of that right?
Sure.
There's a little pond in Barnesville.
I know what you're talking
and
about.
Or Blue Eagle, Blue Dog, whatever it is. It's a Barnesville pond. If you have one kid's fishing derby on there on a Saturday afternoon, that's fine. And you can take that to any pond, slough, or lake. You can take that from Lake Oahe to Lake Sakakawea. You can take it from South Dakota, Minnesota to North Dakota. But if you end up with multiple fishing tournaments using the same boat landing on the same weekend, then you're going to also not only have congestion for the fishing tournaments, but the people that aren't in the fishing tournament. So that's why there is a permit process. Now, within that, in Game and Fish, we have utilized a conservation fee. Basically, what that does is, if you're going to have a fishing tournament, then part of that fee is going to go back to maybe the local park board, maybe the local fishing club, for maintaining a fish cleaning station, for doing some enhancements to provide fishing piers and things like that. Well, the situation is, when you get big, huge professional fishing tournaments, that's when you can go from maybe a couple hundred bucks to thousands and thousands of dollars that go back to a conservation fee. And anytime you start talking about money and you start adding commas, not decimal points, that's when you start to see where there's legislation involved. So again, it's a big picture look at a couple of different bills. And we at the Game and Fish Department update these on our website. So it's not something where you have to go to the legislative website. You can go to the Game and Fish Department website, and if you look right on the home page, you will see outdoors legislation. And the nice thing about that is, it has a little bit of a description like I talked about, and it shows you the current status. So I think there was probably like 30-some bills that were initially brought forth to the legislature, and there's maybe like a dozen or so that are still alive. So you don't have to dig through as much to find those bills, what they do, their status, and then you can make a decision for yourself as to what you think about it, or how you would like your legislators to look at that.
Sure. The next topic is going to kind of tie back into what we were talking about with baiting, but chronic wasting disease. You guys actually, or you have some testing results back from 2022.
Yeah, we actually just got our final testing results back earlier this week for chronic wasting disease. And again, as you referenced, this is the always fatal disease in moose and elk and deer. It's been impacting states from Colorado a lot longer than they have in North Dakota. But chronic wasting disease is in Minnesota, and it's in South Dakota. And part of our job from Game and Fish is to try to determine those infection rates. Take a deer hunting unit that you enjoy, and then we want to do testing to find out. So this number might seem small. 24 deer tested positive for chronic wasting disease in the state of North Dakota last year that we tested. Last year, the year before that, there was 26. So we're happy that the rate is stable. But when we break it down to some units in western North Dakota, where we've had chronic wasting disease around for 5 to 10 years and extended, we have an infection rate of mule deer in unit 3F2 of 4.9%, 9.8% in 3A1. That's where, you know, we start seeing some yellow flags that go up and go, ooh, when we start getting those infection rates, because this is always fatal. Deer do not develop an immunity to it that we know of. They do not survive chronic wasting disease. They're going to die from it. And once we start getting to that 10% rate, that's when we as a game and fish department start getting a little bit more concerned. I want to say a big thank you going out to anybody that has donated a deer herd for chronic wasting disease testing. I want to encourage people to continue to please do that. We've had just under 4.5% of hunters in those chronic wasting disease units that are submitting heads for chronic wasting disease testing. And we sincerely need that. That's the only way to test. You can't test this on live deer. So getting those heads from hunter harvested deer is extremely important, Derek.
All right. Very good. In fact, I hope that continues no matter what happens in the legislature. And if there's 24 out there, that means usually a fair portion more. Just that's the only ones that were turned in.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a great point, is when we talk about diseases, we get concerned about, could this somewhere down the line, could it cause other issues that may transfer to domestic livestock and sorts of, because we don't know.
Right.
And that's the scary thing about it. So there's the unknowns are the scariest thing. And the biggest part we want to do is say, hey, thank you to everybody that did turn in a deer head for chronic wasting disease testing, Eric.
Very good. We need to take our first break. Again, talking to North Dakota Game and Fish Outreach Biologist Doug Lear. We'll be back with more Farm Talk coming up in just a moment.